They will be exhibiting work by artist Napoleon Jones Henderson from July. So the reception is next Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Haley House Bakery Cafe in Dudley Square, Roxbury. For more information, visit haleyhouse.org. The 13th annual Roxbury International Film Festival begins next Thursday, July the 28th, and runs through Sunday, July 31st. The festival includes workshops, panel discussions, and film screenings at the Museum of Fine Arts, Mass Art, Wentworth Institute of Technology, Northeastern, the Roxbury Center for the Arts at Hibernian Hall, and the Coolidge Corner Theater. For the full schedule and more information about the 13th Annual Roxbury International Film Festival, visit roxburyfilmfestival.org. And last but not least, the Mass Alliance of HUD Tenants will hold its annual cookout next Thursday, July 28th at 6 p.m. in the backyard of the MAHT office at 42 Severns Avenue in Jamaica Plain. There will be a report back from members of the delegation to the National Save Our Homes Conference in D.C., as well as Midsummer Solidarity Fun and Fundraising. All are welcome. It's wheelchair accessible. Bring food, family, musical instruments, and good weather, if you can. Donations, of course, are welcome. To RSVP and for more information, please call 617-267-2949 or visit saveourhomes.org/MAHT. That's MAHT as in the Mass Alliance of HUD Tenants. Good group. It is now 7 o'clock. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Please stay tuned for Music for Human Beings coming up next. Thank you for being part of what's left tonight. I expect I'll be back next week. Stay tuned for more. Stay cool. This is WMBR Cambridge.
Sufi Music for Human. I am a Dr. Jalis Sakran, and like the soda, I refresh you. Nature does not cooperate. It does not choose to, and we do not control it. We might try to, but it ignores us. And the changes that we make in the world around us are like the ripples that a stone makes in the raging river when it drops inside. They ripple, yes, there is a change. But quickly the river becomes calm again, and the changes vanish. It is as though the stone were never there. Similarly, the changes we may wish to make upon the earth, we are insignificant. What it's really all about, I think. In spite of
the human emotion, the gift of feeling without less boundaries, listen to your heart. The message is clear. To be one.
That's what it's all about, really. Ultimately, the world exists because you perceive it, and the perception is enough. Likewise, the universe is not larger than your own perception. It is merely equal to it. The experiences that you have are real, and they may seem silly to me because my world is larger. But they are no more nor less valid than my feelings. Joining me tonight with her own world is Aurora. Aurora, marhaban.
Namaste. And thank you for having me back on the show. And for allowing me, through our mutual communion, to enlarge our respective universes. For truly I believe that this meeting of minds allows us to melt into one mental expansiveness. Our collective ideas forming a union. Or a communion.
Communion, I love this word, Aurora, because it is broken into two words. Come, let us union.
Precisely.
And the antonym, away intersection.
Now, is an intersection the opposite of the union, or is nothingness the opposite of the union? For within the union lies the intersection, does it not?
Yeah. That's true, actually. I withdraw my earlier statement.
So perhaps the antonym of communion is go nothing.
Let us go nothing for a while. We welcome Zoro. Zoro, marhaban.
Thank you, of course, Doctor. Thank you to all the listeners. It's wonderful to be here today.
And herein lies another problem with this single expansive universe idea. If it is always wonderful to be here, then is that the same as never being wonderful to be here?
You raise an interesting philosophical point, but I must say for myself, I'm sure that it is always wonderful to be here.
But you come with the expectation of wonder. So if you leave with normal mundanity, then do you not feel disappointment? You expect this wonder. And really, isn't expectation everything?
That's an interesting statement. I actually read quite recently in an article that within expectation is consciousness, and that a person's consciousness can be summarized is or her ability to foresee the future to a small degree, perhaps anywhere from a small piece of a second to the next several minutes. And that ability to progressively guess what might be coming is consciousness.
Here to expand consciousness with us is Umdua Marhaban.
Marhaban to everybody. Salam, Dr. Gales. I hope you keep cool.
It is difficult to remain cool in this atmosphere, both in the conventional sense, because the temperature is high, and also in the contemporary sense, because humidity makes me angry. Aurora, your countenance is, as Umdua says, cool, as always. How do you prevent the honey-like atmosphere from enraging and boiling your humor?
I actually get this question quite often, and there are a couple of techniques that I use. First of all, poor circulation is always a plus in this sort of weather. And secondly, I have no air conditioning, as you may say, and so I often wake in the middle of the night, drenched in my own sweat, unable to fall back asleep despite my poor circulation. And when this occurs, I go into my bathtub and light incense and stand in the bathtub and chant.
Do you want me? Feel the attraction.
Raises the eternal question in me, Aurora. I wake up liquefied almost, knotted in a sweaty sheet, unable to move, needing badly to urinate, but being both exhausted and boiling in heat.
It's interesting. It sounds as though you have distilled part of your humor out of your body.
It is not I that have done so, but the atmosphere has chosen to remove part of me, physically and spiritually. I sit there wondering, contemplating my existence and my relationship to this poisonous atmosphere, thinking, trying to focus on the blessing that it is, because it is really a nurturing one. Simultaneously thinking, hoping that I fall asleep and that I postpone the chore of urinating to the morning. Well, here to share this chore with us, if you'd like to join, 617-253-8810. We have two lines available. Caller, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Thank you. I am sitting here in my bathing suit, driving down a long highway, feeling the sweat dripping down my body as well.
And you do not sound angry, caller.
No, I don't want to be angry about it. This is part of my body's function. The system works when there is sweat.
But aren't you frustrated by the weather and our inability to control?
It is frustrating only knowing that the humans are contributing to their own suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But when I find the deep ocean, I jump into it, finding cool refuge there.
I agree with the caller. The body should take its course. When it's cold, it's close its opening to the world. And when it's hot, I mean, it needs to take its course in life and functioning.
It's ironic, though, because when it gets really hot, I tend to stay away from the nutrients, such as vegetables and water. How should I find myself in a healthy state when I need it the most?
Well, caller, often it is very difficult for us to take things in when it is hot. And after much meditation, I've come to realize in my worldview that hot weather is the world asking us for part of ourselves. And we sweat out into the world and find it difficult to accept the world within ourselves.
Wow.
Let's bring in a second voice also. Stay with us, caller.
Yes, I will. A pool of thought is dripping inside my mind now. Thank you.
Stay with us, caller.
I will.
Caller two, marhaban.
Hi. I am wondering about a question I've been thinking about for 6 years.
Excellent, caller. I hope we are able to help.
Okay, my question was, if you were a pie, would you be a Republican or a Democrat?
Now, I think this question is perfect today, caller, because today is 22/7, which is, of course, Pi Approximation Day.
Okay.
So it's very natural that the question of pi should come up. And more important than the political bent of the pie, I think, is the shape. And I wonder also to my co-hosts, what shape would the pie be? The pie, of course, feeling nurtured by the heat, moistened by the humidity.
Hello?
No, we are with you, caller. Let us see the answers. Aurora.
Shut up.
Well, personally, my pie would be somewhat square-shaped, I believe, because that is a very easy pie to roll out.
Mm.
But I envision myself as more of a chicken savory pie. It is very nourishing, and in this hot weather, it allows you to expel more of yourself into the atmosphere and therefore aid the rest of the world.
Dua, tell us, if you were a pie, what shape would the pie be?
I would like to have a round shape pie. I don't like the edges. So the circular shape will remove the edges, and I feel that I'm in a continuous media.
So rather than have corners, you would like to be perfectly circular, a disc.
Yeah, definitely.
Zoro.
I think, in my opinion, the perfect pie has a ratio of the area of the pie to the circumference of the pie. If you are measuring around the perimeter, the ratio between these two quantities should be approximately the radius divided by two.
Okay, I was thinking about being a spherical pie, a ball. So I think this is my corpulent nature, and it also mirrors my...
Hello?
Yes, caller, we are with you still.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say that I wish my pie was in the shape of a universe, which would mirror the shape of the other universes.
Now, caller, if you were to describe the universe as you see it, as we were saying earlier, that one's universe is defined within oneself, what sort of attributes would you put to your universe?
It is in the shape of several turtles.
Well, if your pie was in the shape of a universe, what, like, flavor would it be?
Hmm. The flavor of mysteries, the flavor of nothingness.
What a calm decision.
The composition of nothingness.
So perhaps mystery meat and potatoes.
Caller two, what would your flavor be? And why no approximation on the pie?
Did you just ask if I can draw approximations on the pie?
No, today is Pie Approximation Day, 22/7. 22
yeah.
over 7 being 3.142857 repeating.
Oh man, the math just went beyond where I am right now.
No, absolutely. It's simply the beautiful relation between pi and this simple ratio. And I wonder that none of us really have thought so much. Aurora mentioned that she would be a square pie. But what about a hexagonal pie?
Well, I would think your universe's flavor would be apple. That's my favorite.
It should be I would be a square root pie.
Okay. Sure.
Square root pie.
Hey, you guys, this was amazing. I'm really glad I called in. It feels really good to be connected with these, like, awesome spirits over the radio waves. And I want to call in next time you have a show. Is that okay?
That would be wonderful, caller. Thank you for being with us.
There are a few things that could make us happier.
Thank you so much. You guys are really kind. Your voice is just, sending me a buzz. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Hey.
I have to go now, too. And I really like this show.
Well, thank you, caller, too.
Okay, goodbye.
Ma'a salama. The idea of pi is still with us. If anyone would like to call, it's 617-253-8810. Is there a cheese pie?
You know, I think it was an interesting remark to say that the universe in a pie form should be one's favorite flavor.
The universe, the flavor of the universe, has good things, wonderful things, delicious things, things that are sweet and later become bitter, things that are delicious but will make you ill, and also things that are unpleasant and necessary, and things that are unpleasant and harmful.
I love this music in the background here. It really feels like an awakening, like the border between sleep and consciousness.
I see the music director almost in a gesture of recalcitrance.
I think that he is reticent.
He says, makes a gesture, obstinately suggesting that because Aurora likes the music, perhaps he should change it.
In this moment, that would make me very unhappy indeed.
So we all join each other and make threatening gestures and dissuade him.
Perhaps not a threatening gesture so much as a mere look of sadness.
On my way here today, through the humidity and the waves of heat, the mirage, I saw before me an establishment selling Taekwondo. Looking inside, of course, I recognized practitioners of martial arts. I stepped inside and I asked them why. They said it is a necessity of discipline and self-defense. But I propose a new discipline, a discipline of acceptance, of welcoming. I name it Taekwondo. Training oneself to accept other people so that it may be done easily on an impulse. Suddenly it becomes necessary to act, and it is easy to do so because of one's training. We respond with bro therapy.
Beautiful thought. And it works because we are all connected. We are all the same creature. We share so much. I believe it is those topics that we really, really share that we forbid ourselves to communicate about. Perhaps that is why there is so much war in the world.
That's an interesting suggestion, I think. It's quite fitting. There is so much of the human condition which is unsaid. And I personally think that this is why we have art.
Walking down the street, passing the Dobro, I noticed a woman sitting inside her car, the engine idling, and the air condition on at full blast, very loud. As I walked by, I experienced a wave of heat. There are so many ways to respond. Again, it's easy to become testy in the heat. But I thought to myself, here this poor woman who is giving her heat to the world, returning it. She is attempting to retain her sweat. Perhaps out of fear or out of discomfort. So let me walk in this heat so that I might give more. What she keeps, I will give double. And then later, losing patience, I walked into a pharmacy. But I felt almost that I was going to become ill because of the quantity of sweat that remained on me like a cold jacket, like the hand of a really cold person who is really cold, cold hand, rubbing my scalp.
And did that cold hand get a wish?
Yeah, I left the pharmacy. Also, people could see I wasn't really there to buy anything. So I left. Let's give that call number again. 617-253-8810. Let us cool each other. Caller, marhaban.
Yes, hello, how are you?
Caller, I'm well.
You mentioned getting testy in the heat earlier, and I find that I get testes in the heat in that my testicles stick to my thigh, and I was wondering if you have any recommendation on what to do. I'm walking, and it's just unbearable in this heat and humidity.
Well, caller, I'd love to be able to answer this, because It's actually counterintuitive, and I understand the difficulty, but the answer is to wear underwear. So in the heat, it may seem desirable to wear less clothing, but in the case of underwear and certain other flowing clothing may be more comfortable and may also prevent your genitals from being chafed.
But I'm wearing boxers in the heat, so are you suggesting that I switch to briefs or the hybrid boxer briefs?
Yes, that is my recommendation. And also, if you find that there's too much chafing, I think liberal application of baby powder and perhaps lotion will be helpful.
Thank you. I tried chanting and doing some vocal exercises in the middle of the street, but it just did not help. I will certainly try some new undergarments.
Well, caller, you know, it's beautiful that you resort to prayer here, but I come from an Islamic background, and we have a saying which is aqal wa tawakkal, that you should neither simply pray nor simply attempt a mundane solution to a problem. but apply the mundane solution and then pray that God gives it success. So I think the prayer is there. I think the baby powder is next.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You are very wise.
Thank you, caller. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
It was really nice. It's 617-253-8810. All my people.
Fantastic. You are quite learned in this discipline.
Well, you know, I have learned a lot of things the hard way. And being in your company, it is refreshing. It is like a glass of snow, of ice.
Or perhaps a snow cone. It is neither snow nor ice, but something like both.
I'd like to read the following letter that was sent. It is called Leaving the Palace. For 10 years, in the pavilions of the seasons, the prince was completely immersed in the distractions of this life. Music, dancing, feasting, and the myriad pleasures of the senses. But always his thoughts returned to the problem of suffering as he contemplated the true meaning of human life. The luxuries of the palace, sensual pleasures, the joys of youth, what is the true value of such things? Someday we ourselves will suffer old age, sickness, death. From this there is no escape. Pride of youth, pride of health, pride of existence, all thoughtful people should cast them aside. A man struggling to find the meaning of existence naturally reaches out. There are two possible ways to seek help, a right way and a wrong way. To seek help in the wrong way is that in recognizing the inevitability of sickness, old age, and death, the man looks for help among the same class of empty and impermanent things. To look in the right way means that with the recognition of the true nature of suffering, he seeks help in that which transcends suffering. In this life of sensual pleasures and materialistic pursuits, I seem to have been looking for help in the wrong way. With this struggle in his mind, the prince remained in the palace until his 29th year of age. Then he decided to leave his palace home and seek the solution of his endless questioning in the homeless life of a mendicant. The prince visited various hermits and yogis to learn their disciplines and ascetic practices. After studying and practicing diligently with Bhagava, Arada Kalama, and Udraka Ramaputra to learn their method of attainment, he became convinced that their methods would not lead him to the ultimate enlightenment he sought. Finally, he went to the land of Magadha and practiced extreme asceticism in the forest of Uruvilva on the banks of the Nairanjana River, which flows by the Gaya castle. His exertion and practice was unbelievably intense. His vow was that no ascetic in the past or the present will ever practice more earnestly than I do. Still, the prince's goal eluded him. After 6 years in the forest, he gave up the practice. He bathed in the river and accepted a bowl of milk from the hand of Sujata, a maiden from a neighboring village. Finally, his companions deserted him, disgusted that he had abandoned his practice. The prince was left alone. Although weakened and exhausted, he decided to attempt yet another period of meditation, saying to himself, "Blood may become exhausted, flesh may decay, bones may fall apart, but I will never leave this palace until I find the way to enlightenment." The prince threw himself into an intense and incomparable struggle, experiencing his desperation and confusion fully. Dark shadows danced everywhere. He was seduced by all manner of temptations, pulling him away from his meditative equipoise. But one by one, mindfully, patiently, he transformed them all into the dance of awareness. His struggle was so intense it made his blood run thin, his flesh fall away, and his bones crack. But when the sun rose in the east, the struggle was over, and the prince's mind was as clear and bright as the breaking day. He had at last found the path of enlightenment. It was December 8th. At 35 years of age, the prince became Buddha. Let us welcome another voice on the air. 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaba.
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I've been thinking.
Excellent, caller. I think this is a well-placed exercise.
Yes. I'm thinking that just as I am in the heat, you are in the heat. And that when one is hot, one frequently desires something to prevent the heat from becoming a greater heat. So I have to ask you, what is the nature of becoming, and how does it relate to consciousness and that which is not, and when it is redelsified from within?
Well, caller, I think that the prince in the story we just heard would tell you that the heat that you are feeling is an illusion. The desire for things to prevent the heat from cooking you is unnecessary. It will lead you to more suffering, and that you should embrace the feelings that you are experiencing. But my own feeling is, defend your body, caller. Prevent it from being sautéed.
May I add to that that it is good to defend your body, but on the other hand, when the universe gives you a situation you cannot avoid, a situation which occurs to all of us, is experiencing heat, uncomfortable heat, and it is only through experiencing this suffering that we can truly, truly understand ourselves. Especially in times when the suffering is not present.
Yes, I am particularly curious as to why we have chosen to use the word sautéed as opposed to another word.
Yes, well, caller, you are cooking in a light coating of your own natural oils, hence sautéed.
I think also the word is appropriate because we are, as in cooking, we are trying to reap the benefits of the heat, to cure ourselves in a sense.
Cooking is always an attempt to reap the benefits.
Yeah, I think that is true to an extent, caller, and I'm not sure if Zoro and Aurora and Dua here would agree with me, but it seems to me that one may overcook oneself just as one may overcook a delightful morsel of lamb, and the result is a negative one.
Yes, but may we return to the subject of sautéing? I'm particularly interested in how this relates to several of my prior questions.
Yes, the point of sautéing. Well, the point I would like to make, caller, is that it is my belief that you will be more able to achieve a healthy state of mind and a healthy state of body together. And unfortunately, sautéing is an irreversible process.
Yes.
So I encourage you to remain in a raw state. Remain raw.
Yes.
Do not allow yourself to become cooked, whether it is sautéed or fried or baked or otherwise prepared into a consumable person.
Yes.
But protect your body so that you may grow your brain and continue this practice of thinking, this exercise which you have recently discovered?
Yes, I would like to conclude by saying, as to sauté is to marinate and to reflect on the eternal nature of consciousness, and I'd prefer to take my answer off the air if you will allow me to do so. I am wondering about the state of uncooked consciousness after it has been desautéed, if indeed that were possible. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Well, I think that in regards to the amount of cooking which one has metaphorically done with oneself, it is a limited metaphor, and this notion of cooking, undercooking, overcooking, it is a reflection upon our ability to take things too far, or to perhaps to see a path, to turn, to wonder if we may walk along it, but to turn around preemptively and miss on the benefits of our choices.
Let's bring in another voice, perhaps with some more words of awesome. 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Marhaban.
Welcome, caller.
Thank you.
Caller, how is it that you are bearing the heat and you yet remain so calm and your voice so melodious?
Well, it's easy. It's been a family tradition to put a block of tofu in my undershorts.
So you not only wear underwear, you also carry tofu in the underwear.
Takes care of everything.
Now, caller, is this frozen tofu or fresh?
It's fresh. It's got to be fresh.
Well, that is brilliant, caller. Can you tell us some of the benefits that you have experienced by carrying, and what quantity of tofu do you convey in this way?
I take the whole block, like you get from a grocery store.
So a cubic meter, or quite a lot smaller?
What is that, about a pound, 16 ounces?
Okay. Yes, yes, everyone is gesturing at me that it is much smaller than a cubic meter.
But you know, depending on your size, you can cut it in half.
Like a postcard, the size of a postcard.
That can work for some people, particularly younger people.
Absolutely.
A baby, you can just slice it and stick it in the diaper. About a quarter of an inch thick.
And how often do you replace the tofu, caller?
Today I've used 2 pounds.
And what do you do, if I may be so bold as to ask, with the tofu once it has been used, so to speak? Why stop using the tofu?
Well, if I'm wearing it at the temple, we make it into sacred statues.
Oh, excellent. So it is carved. Does it simply dry?
Yes.
Yes.
And you could mold it into different shapes, different deities.
Oh, you worship the tofu.
You can, yeah.
I hesitate to do this because I worry if the statue is damaged, the idea may be given a devotion. But the embodiment of the idea, I step back. I do not do that.
It's not for everybody.
And do the other family members, you say they all carry the tofu?
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah, well, it is something worth attempting, I think. I worry about the issues that will happen with the skin, because I have very, very delicate skin.
Well, you know, there is a silken tofu as well. It costs a little bit more. but it's a little bit more delicate.
Silken tofu for the sensitive skin.
Yes, yes, very, very nice. It doesn't form the statues as nicely, but, you know, if it gets you through a hot day.
That can be a welcome respite. I would often trade delicious food for delicious feelings in the undershorts from time to time. Aurora.
Yes.
I might also add that those of you who use antiperspirant should really avoid applying that to the nether regions during temperatures such as these. For the perspirants are our natural ability to cool ourselves. Mm. And they are exactly what the atmosphere is asking from us.
Mm-hmm. And
with
that,
this heat.
That request must be responded to in the appropriate time-honored fashion.
Precisely. And that is precisely why so many people have heat stroke. Mm. It's because they refuse that demand.
They're stuffing their undershorts with antiperspirant.
Yes.
Instead of tofu.
A lot of people don't really explore tofu as an antiperspirant.
Do you use it also under the arms, Colin?
Yes, I do.
Blocks, or how is it kept there?
Slices.
Just rubbed?
Slices,
which are adhered to the underarm by the use of cream.
No, on a hot day, it'll stick up there by itself.
Does the hair interfere with this adhesion?
It helps.
It helps?
Oh, yeah, it gets all tangled up. Everything, it forms a kind of a mesh.
Do you find...
Kind of like rebar when you're pouring concrete.
No, absolutely, but it's difficult for me. I've not really experimented with wearing tofu, so I'm having a hard time imagining it.
Perhaps the knowledge is in the doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know of this Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, the...
I think I've heard this word.
Rock
star? She's an actress.
She's an actress. She's a rock star. She's a seeker of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And quite famous, but one of her costumes recently was made out of meat.
Made out of?
I believe all of us have costumes made of meat.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, she had
another layer
from a barber shop, and it was sewn into an outfit for her. And it made quite a stir.
Because.
And that's why, that's a lot of people don't realize that you can make an outfit out of tofu without sacrificing any animals.
Mm. Why don't we bring in another voice to join with us? Stay with us, caller.
Yes, sir.
Caller 4, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome, caller.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the fact that the previous caller mentioned sauteing and the food related to you know, how much we sweat and how much we know. And this new caller is talking about food, and I just love the thread. I just love how you guys bring it together.
Well, thank you, caller. I think we just let it come together here, really.
Yeah.
And caller, have you ever attempted to wear food?
Attempted to wear food. I've worn pineapple rings as bracelets. I'd like to rub cucumber slices on my forehead if I get too hot. I've taken yolk baths, which are very cooling. I love oatmeal baths for my itchy places.
So definitely a thoroughly explored thing. That is something that that actually interests me a great deal.
Have you had any success with Jell-O?
Jell-O? No. I kind of want to stay away from Jell-O because of the sort of the weird, is it horse hooves that are in it? The gelatin is from a weird animal byproduct.
Well, there is also...
That's why we put it in our shoes.
There is pectin-based Jell-O, which is vegetarian Jell-O.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
but there are also artificial ingredients in that, in particular sucrose, which I believe is very, very bad for our bodies.
Yeah, I just get afraid nowadays. Young people, the children are developing so fast, and I just get so scared about how we're going to develop as the human race. Like, I don't know. It's just very scary to think about.
It is worrisome, but it is a worry that I also had in my youth, and the human race, I think, the one thing I believe about us as a group is that we will adapt as the universe, just as we pour sweat mm-hmm. when the universe demands it. If the universe changes, we also will change.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, if you put Jell-O in your shoes right now, you won't worry about that tonight. You probably won't even think about it.
Oh, that is very hopeful news.
Yes.
I like the idea of flan as well.
Flan, I do love flan. It's been many years since I have consumed it, and certainly I have never worn it. I would also love to tell you about the balloon garments that I've experimented with, but unfortunately, callers, we are just running out of time.
Oh. Air is a great food.
And thank you again for letting me hop onto the show. I called earlier talking about my sweat and my universe-shaped pie. I was so excited, but I hope to call again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you both again. Callers.
Okay.
And
bye.
I just want to say goodbye, but just want to emphasize that balloons are great fruits as well.
I very much agree, caller, and thank you for being with us and for your interesting tofu ware.
My pleasure. Thank you for the intelligent conversation.
Thank you, caller. Well, Ma'asalama, Zoro.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well.
Ma'asalama, Dua.
Ma'asalama, everybody, and try to use yogurt to cool down.
Ma'asalama, Aurora.
Thank you so much for having me again. Namaste.
I'm Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you in spite of the heat. We are here on Wimber 88.1 FM, Cambridge. Stay tuned for the next show because it will be nice. Ma'asalama.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.